This is KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. It is 4:01, time now for Everything Under the Sun on KDNK. I'm your host, Raleigh Burley, and joining me is Carly Bolliger, right?
Close, Bolliger.
Bolliger. Ah, Boston Bruce asked and everything. I had already forgotten. Thanks so much for joining us, Carly. And why don't you give us a little introduction to who you are and what you do here in the Valley?
For sure. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, Carly Bolliger. It's a very common mistake, so no worries there. I work for Aspen Valley Land Trust. I'm the Communication and Engagement Director. I've been there about 4 years and help oversee events, everything, social media, website. Give us a follow.
Mm-hmm. And what does Aspen Valley Land Trust do?
So AVLT, Aspen Valley Land Trust, protects and cares for open land and working lands in the Roaring Fork and Colorado River valleys. So we typically work with private landowners to protect their land, or work also with partners such as the Town of Carbondale, Town of Silt, to protect special community spaces like the entrance to Red Hill or Pitkin County. We partner on Sky Mountain Park. Lots of different special spots that you might not realize are actually protected.
Mm. Sweet. Yeah, and I asked that question, but I've done a fair amount of research about Aspen Valley Land Trust as a reporter here in the Valley, and I thought it was really cool to learn, and it ties to the name, but it kind of got started with a pocket park in Aspen.
Yeah, we got founded in 1967, and we were formed from the Parks Association, and so we were gifted a few small pocket parks to oversee in perpetuity. And it wasn't until the 80s that George Stranahan actually donated the first conservation easement in Colorado. And so we are technically the oldest regional land trust in the state, which is pretty cool.
Wow, I didn't know that part, that George Stranahan donated the first conservation easement in the whole state.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's really special. Cool. He was such an innovator in so many ways and really had a lot of foresight about the direction that things were going and wanted to be a positive part of directing that.
It is amazing to hear, oh, that cool thing, that's also tied to George Stranahan.
Right? Yeah.
And then also Pitkin County Open Space kind of grew out of Aspen Valley Land Trust, right?
Yeah, our history is very intertwined, and we have worked on so many different properties together. We are very collaborative, and they are such a great asset to this whole watershed, and we're really grateful to have them as strong partners.
And now, as of, I believe it was 2023, that you set this 10-year goal, right, as an organization to help conserve between 40 and 50,000 acres in those valleys that you mentioned, which is a formidable goal.
It is. It is definitely a bit aspirational, but also achievable, I like to say. So we currently have protected just over 47,000 acres. And if you think of that in another term, that's basically from the base of Independence Pass all the way to Rifle, 1 mile wide. So if you drive that whole corridor, it takes about an hour and a half. And so if you think 1 mile that entire way, wow, that's as much land as we've protected. And we want to double that, and we think it's achievable. And we're hoping with some new tools and creative strategies that will definitely be possible, but it's going to take a lot of outreach and growth and new community engagement strategies to get more people involved in this mission.
And what does it mean when a land is under conservation? Because it's not public.
Yeah, it is not a given that conserved land is open to the public. It typically is private land, and so we work with ranchers or different landowners to place a conservation easement on their land, which is transferable upon ownership. So if you sell your land, it's still conserved. And so that is in perpetuity. That is a forever promise. And so unlike most nonprofits, we actually plan on being around forever. And mm-hmm. So we are really committed to stewarding land, stewarding our resources, being a resource for these landowners and making sure that the land is not only protected but cared for forever.
Mm-hmm. And it can be customized depending on the land and the preferences of the people. Like there's not a really strict set of it needs to be exactly this way, right?
Correct. It's very customizable. So it's all about your family's conservation goals. That's how the whole conversation starts, and that's what drives the process. And so sometimes there might be public access, especially in the more creative partner type projects, such as the base of Red Hill, where we worked with the town of Carbondale to transfer ownership to them after forever protecting it. And that obviously has a lot of public access,
mm-hmm.
but there's also a lot of working ranches that will remain working land and protect the water rights, wildlife habitat, but not necessarily provide public recreational access. It provides a lot to the community in terms of climate resilience, scenic views, the water, the health of our landscape,
mm-hmm.
Just the
local food.
Local food, absolutely.
And Kaufman Ranch is a bit special within the list of projects that AVLT's worked on. Tell us more about Kaufman Ranch.
Kaufman Ranch is a property that Aspen Valley Land Trust purchased from Rex and Joanne Kaufman in 2021. So the traditional model of conservation is that we work with the landowner and they retain ownership and management of their land. This is different because we actually purchased the land and worked with Pitkin County Open Space and Trails to place that conservation easement on it so that it will be forever protected. And it is our, what we like to call, ambassador property,
mm-hmm.
because conservation is kind of hard to connect to. It's typically behind that private fence. You might not be able to see it, might not be able to access it, or really understand what it means to conserve a piece of land. And so this is where we can invite the community out and have them experience a working ranch, learn more about conservation, and connect to the land and one another.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, for people just joining us here on KD&K, this is Everything Under the Sun. I'm Raleigh Burley, and today we're speaking with Carly Bolliger.
Closer.
Bolliger.
Yeah. Bolliger. Yeah, you got to growl at me.
Bolliger.
Nailed it.
And all about AVLT, prompted by an article in this week's Oprah Sun about SpringFest and this new approach to SpringFest, where people are invited to donate any amount, and they don't need to. It will help AVLT cover the costs for a cool event, and it's being hosted at the Strang Ranch. So you talked about Kaufman Ranch being sort of an ambassador project. It seems like in many ways Strang Ranch has sort of served in that way as well. Could you tell us more about that property?
Strang Ranch is beautiful, and it has been a really great ambassador for conservation. It's a working ranch. The Strangs have been around forever. I think a lot of this community is very familiar with the family and the property. It holds a very special place in the heart of Carbondale. And they do community events up there, such as the Sheepdog Trials. They've hosted different fundraisers for Aspen Valley Land Trust. And they really feel passionate about our mission and also connecting people to the land and to conservation. So we are so grateful to have the String family so near and dear, and that they open up this beautiful, beautiful piece of land up to us for these events.
Mm-hmm. And SpringFest has been hosted there previously. Has it always been hosted there?
It has. The first SpringFest was in 2019, and then obviously had to take a couple of years off, and we returned in 2022. Or 2023. I'm getting my years confused here. Time means nothing anymore, but this is, I believe, our fourth SpringFest, so it must have been 2022.
Yeah, I think so. Skip 2021, 2020. For people who have never been to SpringFest, what can you expect?
It's a really just beautiful day out on a working ranch. The Strangs have lots of different sheep, and so I think we're going to have some of those kind of closer up that people can pet and meet. And the Strangs will do some sheepdog demos, which are really cool if you've never seen them before. And we also are going to have different partners, Roaring Fork Hounds Pony Club, Farm Collaborative, Carbondale Arts, Evergreen Zero Waste. I'm probably forgetting some, but there's a lot of different ranching demonstrations, activities. We've got kids crafts. I think our own Anjanette Rosas Garcia will be there with dandelion flower crowns and a scavenger hunt. So it's just a good excuse to get outside, see some beautiful mountains, and spend time with the community. We're also having lunch catered by Tequeria El Yaqui. Mm-hmm. Their food is really good. If you haven't had it, you should swing up to Glenwood Springs or just come to Spring Fest. But it's a little bit of everything. It's from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and it's just a really nice way to spend a spring afternoon.
And that's on May 19th. Of those partners, you mentioned the Roaring Fork Hounds Pony Club. Never heard of that organization. What do they do?
That is a good question. I am not going to do it justice if I try to answer, but I think at the event they are going to be doing some, it might be quadrille. I'm not totally sure what kind of demonstrations, but they're going to have some of their horses and ponies out there.
Okay, cool. I see hounds and pony, and I think of...
I did look into the history at one point because the name also caught my attention, and I don't think there's actually hounds
involved. No hounds involved.
Yeah, I'll have to... Bummer. Look into that again, because it was a really interesting history. I remember that much.
Okay. Well, I also noticed that you're going to have Spanish interpretation available. Tell us more about that aspect, as well as the pay what you can model.
Yeah, definitely. We are working to get all of our communications, especially events, community events, to be bilingual. It just makes sense and seems like a really easy thing to do to make something more accessible to our community. And so we've been committed to that for a while and are going to be making sure that this event is fully bilingual again. And the Pay What You Can model is kind of a new experiment that we're doing. You and I were talking about just how expensive things have gotten, and everybody feels it. And so what we really care about is just making sure that everybody has an opportunity to get out to this beautiful, conserved piece of land and enjoy their day and enjoy their community. So that was more important to us than breaking even, which is essentially what we've done on this event in the past. And so it's kind of a fun experiment for me, too, to see what the community will do, because there is the option to make a donation when you are registering for your tickets. And so it's been fun to follow, like, the ticket sales with the revenue incoming. And so far, we're pretty close to where we would be at if we were charging the normal price for tickets.
Well, that's cool.
I think we might be, like, $200 behind. But I have a lot of faith in this community. I think there's a really strong sense of community and equity, and people want to help one another out. And so we were like, let's just try this and see how it goes. And the worst that happens, we're out, you know, a few grand, which does hurt as a nonprofit, to be clear, but I don't think that would happen. And it just feels more meaningful to make sure that everybody who wants to be there is able to be there.
So even if you don't raise enough money to break even, like, what is it the essence of, like, the intention behind the event? Like, what do you hope people gain, or what will it do for Aspen Valley Land Trust?
We are really committed to helping this community connect to nature and learn more about conservation, because we truly believe that the more people have these relationships to their place and to this work, which when you know more about Aspen Valley Land Trust, you realize how entwined our work is with everything that you love about these valleys, that you will then eventually support us. We want to build a conservation ethic. That's why we've been committed to outdoor education for so many years, because we believe that our youth need these opportunities to get outside and just be able to sit in the quiet and reflect, or just watch aspen leaves fall, whatever it might be, the cloud shapes, because those are the moments that really build your relationship to land. And when you care about the land, you're going to support conservation. And so it's not even supporting conservation in a monetary way necessarily. There's so many ways to support, right? And so the more of this community that's bought in and cares about this, the more we all win. Aspen Valley Land Trust, Wilderness Workshop, so many other great organizations in these valleys.
Mm-hmm. And I saw it's part of your mission to help people connect with the land and each other, right?
Yeah, that each other. And also, we are strong believers in the benefits that you can gain as an individual from being in nature and having that connection, you know, whether it's mental health, physical health, just stress relief, whatever mm-hmm. it is. It's a win-win-win.
So of the acreage conserved last year, Marble Base Camp was a part of that, right? Could you tell us more about that property and how it will play in for AVLT's mission?
We actually purchased Cheap and Right Marble Base Camp in 2016 through the generous support of our community. And so prior to us purchasing the property, it was owned by a private landowner who had kind of an informal agreement with Aspen Middle School, mm-hmm. who used it as their outdoor education facility for over 50 years. So it has a really long history in this valley. And when it went up for sale, that access was threatened. And so we stepped in to make sure that the middle school would still be able to use it. And we also opened the door or gate, if you will, to all local schools. And so we've had Marble Charter School, actually Paonia Middle School, Basalt Middle School, Carbondale Community School, a pretty wide range, access it since 2016. And last year, we had the opportunity to purchase the neighboring property, which was the former Colorado Outward Bound School.
That's what it was.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. that is an additional 47 acres. And then there was another adjacent property that is forest that we also were able to purchase with the help of Pickett County Open Space and Trails. And so we've, in essence, tripled the size of our outdoor education property. And a lot of that is just a buffer for wildlife and a buffer for that special outdoor education experience. Mm-hmm. And are hoping to further activate it this year so that we can invite more school groups, more nonprofits out to use that space.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I had heard from somebody who's involved with the Outward Bound that they were very concerned when that went up for sale.
Yeah, they have their own really, really long, rich history that is really special. And we have a lot of alignment in our values and wanted to help protect that legacy. And we will lease back to them periodically, like during the summer, so they can use it and continue their programming, which is important to them and to us. And then also to get more of our local kids up to the mountaintops for a special experience.
Cool. Well, one more note about Springfest, which is on May 19th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. There will be live music, and Sweet Jessup and the Dirty Buckets will be taking the stage.
Yes.
If you haven't seen them yet, there'll also be a Dandelion Day this Saturday. So.
Yeah, super excited about that. Forgot to mention them, but that's definitely a highlight of the day.
Have you seen them before?
I have. I think I saw them at Mountain Heart.
Oh, okay. Sweet. Yeah. Yeah, they played a Halloween show at Mountain Heart, and then they played a garden show behind Katie and Kay when WeCycle was being unveiled in August last year. Super fun local group getting around. So that's Spring Fest. And what else do you have in store for us this summer?
This summer, we have a lot going on. We are just kind of entering our busy season. And so our program team is going to be out helping with stewardship projects, lots of restoration and checking in on different properties. And then we also have a few different volunteer days that are going to be going on at Kaufman Ranch. Actually, this Saturday, if you're not going to Dandelion Days, Roaring Fork Outdoor Volunteers is doing a project at the Silt River Preserve. And so we keep busy with a lot of things like that. And we also have a big fundraiser, which will be Thursday, July 11th at Too Lazy 7 Ranch. It's really a special night. And it's pretty cool because this year we're going to be honoring the Strang family. And so there's some really fun special overlap between the Springfest event a week from Sunday and the fundraiser in July. We just can't get enough of the strings, so going to be continuing the fun there.
Well, part of the fun of writing this article was to interview Scott Strang, and he was full of some really great quotes, but the one that I think really hits is, "The last crop a farm ever produces is the subdivision." And really,
I love
drives
that.
It home.
What a gut punch that is.
Yeah, and you know, there are some dynamics in the valley where that's becoming very real. And one thing Scott really wanted to touch on was that importance not only of local agriculture to build a certain character by having people involved with raising animals and being, you know, working the land, but also the local food connection. And you know, there's only so much arable land. You were mentioning some statistic about Garfield County, and yeah, people need places to live. But for me personally, when they're second homes, I wonder about that value versus the arable land.
Yeah, definitely. And there's obviously a housing crisis. That's no surprise to anyone. And we feel that very closely ourselves. But there is a difference between a piece of land that is going to be more beneficial when conserved versus one that ought to be developed. And so we really support smart growth, which is putting housing where housing should go, which is closer to town. It is housing for actual families, not just to sit vacant. And just making sure that we're really trying to prioritize the balance between human needs of housing and the wild and ecological needs of our landscapes.
Yeah, there's so much conversation about climate change, but I think not enough about habitat loss when we look at the mass extinction that we're currently living through, the loss of birds and insects and so many different species. And they too need places to live, so to not lose sight of that. And it's really great that AVLT factors in, you know, the benefit to wildlife when you're choosing what projects are good to focus on.
Yeah, definitely. It's all very interdependent. And so, you know, biodiversity, loss of biodiversity has gained more attention, I think, in recent years, but is really its own crisis that needs attention. And so prioritizing, you know, healthy riparian areas and those ecosystems that do provide more of that biodiversity and rich wildlife habitat is really critical.
Yeah, and unfortunately that often overlaps with human habitat, right? That the places where the animals want to live are the same places that people want to live.
Yeah, definitely. So it's difficult. It's kind of, there's sometimes a fine line, but I think most of our work really focuses on, you know, working ranches that just want to remain working, want to keep active in local agriculture, and like big wide open spaces that just have a very obvious ecological benefit.
Mm-hmm. We are just about out of time, so we've touched on a lot. If there's anything else that you want to touch on, we have a few more minutes.
I think that's pretty much it. We're growing a lot as a team, and so we do have a lot of fun stuff that's going to be going on this summer. I definitely encourage everyone to learn more about Springfest and consider joining us a week from Sunday on the 19th. And if not, give us that follow, because we're going to have a lot of cool stuff going on, and we are wanting to work with more groups and programs. So if you're interested in learning more or taking a tour of Kaufman Ranch, whatever it may be, please just reach out. We love an excuse to get outside and meet more people. So
what's the best way for people to reach out?
Really, anyway, your preference. I'm the one. If you want to shoot us a DM on Instagram, that'll be me, or you send us an email, snail mail, stop by our office. We're right on Main Street in Carbondale.
Mm-hmm.
Sign up for our emails. That's probably the best way to stay up to date with everything.
at avlt.org.
Yep.
Okay. Or stop by Springfest.
Yeah.
May 19th.
Absolutely.
You'll be acquainted with everyone.
Yeah. Hopefully the weather's nice by then.
And for people who don't own land, like, what's the best way they can support your mission if they feel aligned?
There are so many ways to support, again, that follow. I love my follows. Or just learning more, really. There's a lot of different opportunities to learn more about this work and the importance of protecting open space and just sharing with people why that's important. And, you know, I think this is a very tight-knit community. We fortunately, most people know about us, but tell your friends and neighbors, come out to a volunteer day, come to an event, just get to know us.
Carly Bolliger, AVLT Communication and Engagement Director. Thanks so much for joining us on Everything Under the Sun.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you at Springfest. Mm-hmm.